1 Timothy chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. Verse number 15 is where we're going to be ministering. Let's get the context here. Let's go to verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer? Paul was a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church, but I obtained mercy. He says, I did a lot of this ignorantly. I didn't know what I was doing because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. This is where we'll preach, and worthy of all exception. Basically, he's saying this is something that has been recognized. This is something that we need to understand, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is a faithful saying. This is coming from Paul the Apostle, a man that had persecuted the church. He killed Christians. He witnessed the stoning of Stephen. So we've got to understand that this man, Paul the Apostle, who was once known as Saul of Tarsus, had an experience unlike no other in his salvation experience on the road to Damascus. If there was ever a time that the Bible has ever seen a man get saved gloriously, it was the Apostle Paul. He was murdering Christians. He did much harm to them. He had a license to go around and persecute Christians. And he went ahead and did that, and he did it with all of his heart. He was zealous. I mean, he just would go after them, and he would persecute them, stone them, cause them much persecution and harm. And many of them were brought under great persecution under the hand of Paul. But on the road to Damascus, some of us know the story about how he was struck down and seen a bright light. And all to once he says, "Who art thou?" And he says, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" He was speaking of his people. I thank God for that. That gives us an understanding that our Heavenly Father does love us and He cares for us. And He says, don't persecute my people. You're killing them. You're persecuting them. You're causing them much heartache and pain. And he went on, and the Bible says that he was struck with blindness. And for time's sake, we know that he went under the street called Straight, and he was gloriously saved. A man named Ananias was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went in and told him, "Paul, my brother, the Lord Jesus Christ has called you to preach this gospel to the Gentiles." And we see a glorious salvation in his life. He was blinded when he seen that bright light. He hadn't eaten for 3 days. He was praying. And now Ananias comes to him and has a message that you are a called, chosen vessel. See, brothers and sisters, when God chooses you out of darkness and brings you into the marvelous light, oh, there's no greater experience than to know Jesus in the reality of when he saves you. And I'm talking really become born again. The Bible says here, brothers and sisters, that he was called to preach this gospel to the Gentiles. And we know the great work of the Apostle Paul. But he is writing here to Timothy, and he is writing this letter telling him, "Son, I have some sayings." And if you'll read the Bible, there's 5 times in this pastoral epistles, it says we read the phrase, "This is a faithful saying." This is a faithful saying. There's 5 times where you will read this within the book of Timothy and the book of Titus. What are they saying? A faithful saying. There's certain sayings that in the early church began to be sayings that were established sayings. He says, this is a faithful saying. And the Bible says in verse 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. In other words, this is set apart. This is a saying that is very faithful. You can understand that there's doctrines that come out of this saying. And it goes on to say, why did Christ come? He says here in verse 15, Christ came what? Into the world to save sinners. And then he goes on to say, and whom I am chief. In other words, he's saying, I was the greatest of sinners. I can tell you, I am the one that was persecuting Christians. I was killing Christians. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, to put it in plain terms, I was the worst of the worst. But glory be to God, He counted me worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm the least of the apostles, He said. I am the least of the saints. But He considered me worthy that I could serve Him in the work of God here upon the earth. Paul the apostle was a man that understood that he didn't deserve this salvation, and none of us do, but he lets it be known time and time again. You read five times, at least that I counted, and there may be more, that Paul gives his personal testimonies in the books he had wrote through the New Testament. He begins to share about his glorious salvation, that I was on the road to Damascus, O King Agrippa, and I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. That's crazy, foolish talk to people in the world. If you begin to share your testimony with your loved ones and people that don't know Jesus and you tell them how He gloriously saved you, they're going to think you're crazy. But can I tell you, that's what Christ came to do in the world. He came to save sinners. And there's a lot of preaching right here in this one verse, 15. This is a faithful saying. And it's worthy for us to listen, to pay attention and understand that there's doctrines that will come out of this saying. The early church, brothers and sisters, did not have a New Testament Bible. All they had was the Old Testament. We've got the doctrines. We're able to rightly divide. All doctrine simply means is truths. Throughout the Bible, there's doctrines of faith. There's doctrines of baptism, doctrines of the Holy Ghost. That is breaking up the Word of God in specific subjects, and you can begin to understand and see God's teachings and His precepts and how we ought to learn and walk in these guidelines of the Word of God, the doctrines of the truth of God's Word. I want to preach to you on why Christ came into the world. Many people don't have an understanding. Today even, as much study material that we have and much that's at our fingertips on the internet and on the computer, we sometimes have a false understanding, even as Christians, and understand the true doctrines of why Christ came into the world. Paul said it this way, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Now, I want to break that down for a minute. The very fact that he makes the wording very specific. He chooses it wisely. He says he came into the world. He's not talking about a God that was created. He's talking about the deity of Christ, the pre-existing Christ from the foundations of the world, that he decided, I'm going to come down. Amen. I am the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the first and the last. He came into the world. Amen. Our God came down into the fashion of a man into this world. And God is Jesus Christ in the flesh in this world. In John 1:1, we read, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. John 14, and the Word was made flesh. He had a work that the Father had called him to do, and that was to come to save this sin-sick world. Listen, we are lost and undone. We are born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We are lost in our trespasses, in our sin. We had no hope outside of Christ, but thank God that He came to me. Did He come to you? How many are glad today to know that He came to me while I was at my lowest point? I could have died. I could have been on my way to hell. But oh, He came to me right on time. And He set my spirit free. He set me free from the sin that had me bound. And glory be to God. I'm thankful today that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Amen. Whether you like to hear it or not, we were all sinners. We were all sinners at some point. Now I hope and pray we aren't continuing to live in sin, but go with me quickly to John 1:14. And the Word was made what? And dwelt what? Amongst us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's speaking of the Christ. The Lord Jesus came into this sin-sick world and he was sent by the Father. Now the Bible declares to us that in Matthew 1 and 21, that the angel spoke in a dream to Joseph and said that Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You got to understand, we needed somebody to save us. I needed to be saved from my sins. Can I tell you what we need today? Some of us here today need to be saved from our sins, because sin comes to kill, steal, and to destroy our lives. And brothers and sisters, every one of us are tempted every day to commit sin. And when we commit sin, we bring forth death upon our lives spiritually, cut ourselves off from God. But glory be to God. That's why Christ came into the world. It was announced in a dream by the angel to Joseph, and he said he will be called Jesus, and he shall what? Save his people from their sins. Luke 8 and 13, it was that publican that was standing afar off when Jesus gave the description, when there was that righteous man that said, oh, I'm glad I don't commit sin like the others. I fast, I pray, I pay my tithes. But he said in Luke 8 and 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes and boast upon his goodness, boast upon his self-righteousness, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the attitude that we need to see in the hearts of people today, and even in the church, is that I'm far from where I need to be. But glory be to God, Christ came and he died for the sinner. He came into this world to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. And I know this simplicity of this message might not get you excited, but amen. I don't know about you, but when I think about him coming and saving me from my sins, it does something that inside of me that makes me realize, oh, thank you, Jesus. That's what this world needs again. We need Jesus to come into our lives and set us free from the powers of sin today. That's what this nation needs in America. There's some of us that are bound by the clutches of sin, and you seem to can't get away from it. That's why Christ came. I've got good news today. Jesus Christ came, and he died for sinners, and he came to set you free from the powers of sin. Hallelujah. Be merciful to me, a sinner. His entrance into this world was spoken by the angels through the dream. And then the angels came in Luke 2 and 10. This is why he came into the world. Why do we need to go into the world? To be used by Christ as an instrument to save sinners. Your testimony, you sharing what Christ has done for you and saving you from your sin, now God can begin to take your testimony, deal with the heart of an individual, and begin to draw them by his Spirit as you lift Christ up in your testimony and begin to say, this is why Jesus Christ came into my life, was to save me from my sins. And he can do the same for you, and that will give the people that you witness to hope that Christ is a Savior. We all need a Savior. This is what we need to begin to focus on as we witness to people, is why Christ came. Paul said this is a faithful saying. This is very important. You accept this as something that will be intertwined throughout the Gospels. It will be intertwined all through the Gospel message and the doctrines of the truth of the Word of God, that Christ came to save sinners from their sins. And we see it all through the Bible that this is the purpose that the Son of God came into this world. The angels announced his appearing. They said, fear not, in Luke 2 and 10. I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 John 3 and 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God come into the world. What did He come into this world for? What did He come to do? He came to destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifested. That's why He came in the likeness of a little baby in the manger. And He grew up to be a grown man. All through the roads and the villages, He came to His own. His own received Him not. How many know a lot of people will reject Christ? He came to His own people. Let me tell you, when you witness to people about Jesus, they're going to say, I don't want to hear about that. Don't talk to me about that God stuff. You know why? Because they don't want to confront that they need a Savior, that they don't want to get rid of their sin out of their life. That's why they don't want to hear about a Savior. And can I tell you, there's some that don't want to hear about the gospel. Don't waste your time, but kick the dust off your feet. We spend too much time with people that don't want salvation. They're not ready. I said they're not ready to be saved. There's a time and a season. We plant the seed and we let the Lord deal with their hearts, but don't try to force this into people's hearts, because listen, when they're full of sin, they don't want Christ. But at some point, they will get sick of their sin. They will get sick of their miserable feelings. They'll get sick of all that they're facing and going through. And they will remember the hope that you shared with them about this Savior. His name is Jesus. They will remember that. And the Holy Ghost will begin to deal with them. And trust me, brothers and sisters, the Word of God will not return void. It will go out and accomplish that which God has purposed it to do in the hearts of people. This is the purpose why He came, to destroy the works of the devil upon the cross of Calvary. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Even the devils and the spirits that were here upon the earth, that were cast out of people, they knew who He was. They knew why He came. You read about this in Mark 1 and 23. Where the Bible says, and there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Even the spirits knew that were in those men and in these people why the Christ came. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Christ came into the world, and what did He come to do? To bring light into darkness. And we need to understand that Christ is the light of the world. John 1 and 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10 of John 1, 9 and 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. He made the world. Now, when He speaks of the world, He's not only speaking of this natural world. Now, we speak of the world, and we also can speak of the world in many of the context of the Word of God. It speaks of the world as the people. For God so loved the world. God didn't die for this earth. He didn't die for the trees and the mountains. We're not talking about that world. We're talking about the world, meaning people. Nations. For God so loved the world. He's speaking of humanity. God loved the world. What did He come into the world to do? To save the world. He came to save humanity from their fallen, sinful position. Listen, sin entered into the world through Adam. Adam failed, but Christ, the second Adam, He completed the work. He finished the work. He did what He was called to do, and He died upon the cross of Calvary. And because He died upon that cross and shed His blood, He gives life and salvation to the world. He made all things. He made it all. There was nothing made that wasn't made by Him. All things were made for Him, and He has the preeminence over it all. All power and authority has been given unto Him in the heavens and the earth. Can I tell you there's power in that name? The devils know who He is. Listen, they know when the Christ is within you, when they see the life of Christ within me and within you, when they see the light of the world. Trust me, someone that's in darkness can see someone holding a candle, amen, 5 miles away. I'm telling you, you can see it. You can see the light, because the light always dispels the darkness. Light is always greater. Even demonic spirits are subject unto us when we have Christ within us. You don't have to be fearful of the devil. If you've got Christ within you and you're full of the Holy Ghost, you have nothing to fear. Fear is a spirit. But you know that all spirits are subject unto Christ. He came to destroy and take the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He said, I was once dead, but now I am alive. I am the one that rules and reigns in the heavens and the earth. And all things that consist in the heavens and the earth, I have preeminence. I have ultimate power, physically and spiritually, over everything. That's the Christ that I serve. We sometimes put him in a little jar and in a little box and limit him on his power. No, no, no. He has all power and authority. I like what Jesus said when Pilate brought him up just before he was getting ready to be judged. You remember where they had Barabbas the murderer and they had Jesus. Pilate didn't want to kill Jesus. And he came over to him. And they had already, I believe, beat on him and pulled out his beard. And the Bible says in John 18, Pilate asked Jesus a question. See, Pilate had some power. He said, I've got power to crucify you, Jesus. I've got the power to put you to death. And Jesus says, Pilate therefore said unto him in John 18 and 37, art thou a king? Are you a king? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, that every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. He says, this is the purpose that I was born. Remember, the Word was made flesh. Jesus was not a created being. Oh, well, he was born and he became. No, no, no. He was the pre-incarnate Christ in the fiery furnace. How many of us remember the three Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We put three in the fire, but there's a fourth in the fire. And he has the likeness and the image of the Son of God. That's way back in Daniel's time, the Babylonian captivity. So Christ was seen also, I believe, many times throughout the Old Testament. Do you understand the purpose of his coming? And can I tell you, he's coming again? What is the purpose of his coming? First, he came to save his people. What's he coming a second time to do? Take his people and deliver us once and for all out of this world of sin. He has saved us in the world. In other words, you're of the world, you're in the world, but you're not really a part of the world. You've come, John 17 and 6, out of the world. He's talking about a separated people. A separated people, a people that have come out from among them and are separated. Pilate had no power and authority over Christ. He says, you would have no power to kill me or crucify me unless it was given to you from above. He spoke of a higher authority, and Christ knew all things that would happen to him while he was here on the earth. Could you imagine knowing everything that would come upon you? Could you imagine that? Christ knew everything. He knew he was going to suffer, but he let himself suffer. How many of us would say, oh man, I'm getting ready to go through a terrible time of affliction. I'm getting ready to have to face a sickness. I'm getting ready to lose a loved one. If you knew it was coming, you would do everything to avoid it. Christ knew he was going to be tried and sentenced to crucifixion. He knew he was going to be beaten. He knew a crown of thorns was going to go upon his head. I'm talking about God in the flesh. The creator of all things came down to suffer and bleed and die. How many kings do you know that come to suffer? How many kings come to be served? All of them, but not Christ. He says, I haven't come to be served. I've come to serve you. I've come to get my hands dirty and make some spittle on the ground out of mud and wipe it on your eyes and say, go wash. I'm here to give you light, life. He came and got his hands dirty amongst humanity. Aren't you glad that he came to you? Amen. Aren't you glad that he isn't afraid to get in our messy, messy places in our life? How many of us know we make a mess sometimes? Our lives are a mess, and that's what sin does to us. Sin makes a mess. But Jesus, thank God, comes to wash all of our sins away. I'm going to end with this verse of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read it together from verse 9 to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I love verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Some of you were. How many of us know I once was lost? I once was in darkness. I once was a sinner. But now I was saved because he came to me and he washed all of my sins away. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that's why Christ came. This is a faithful saying that Christ came into the world to save sinners.